This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome everyone back to the Brocast. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network, and I am joined by Tracy Pearson on this Monday morning. The fourth day of the coaching search has come up with a head coach for UCLA football. This morning, UCLA announced the hiring of former running backs coach Deshaun Foster, former running back great Deshaun Foster, who had recently left for the Las Vegas Raiders for the same position to be a running backs coach. We had heard yesterday that this was somewhat serious. You'd heard from a source within UCLA. We wrote a story about him becoming a serious candidate, and things apparently moved very quickly from there. And now UCLA is going to move forward with Foster as the head coach, replacing Chip Kelly. Let's go through first, like, the initial, things that we expect to happen here. First, like, the rest of the staff, what are we expecting with Foster coming in as the head coach?
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Tracy.
I think, one of the reasons the hire was done was to probably retain a lot of the staff. I'll give it to you, straight. First off, Deshaun Foster, I've always liked Deshaun. He's a Bruin. He has pride in the four letters. So all of that's good. Always gotten along with him, had a good relationship with him. Just to say why one of the reasons you're talking about the staff, one of the reasons why I think he was hired is, some of the contracts, if not all the existing contracts for the assistant coaches, had a few years left on them. They're all tied into Chip Kelly. UCLA does have some financial issues. So I think one of the compelling reasons to keep Deshaun Foster is that, or to bring in Deshaun Foster, not keep because he's officially a Raiders running backs coach, was to retain as much of the staff as possible, so you don't eat those contracts. So I'm anticipating there won't be much staff change. I would think Akaika Maloy will remain as defensive coordinator. Maybe there's someone else that would come in, but Akaika Maloy will absolutely be retained on the staff, I would think. I'd be surprised if, I mean, let's go over the staff right now. Offensive line coach. We've got a wide receivers coach. We've got on offense. We've got a tight ends coach. All of those contracts still have years on them. I would expect that they will be retained. He'll need to hire a running backs coach, right? And then on the defensive side of the ball,
just a point of order, tight ends coach Neil Matalolo left, so there is no tight ends
right.
coach.
Okay, that's true. Sorry. On the defensive side, you got Akaika Maloy, the new defensive line coach, and I don't know the details of his contract. Ken Norton is the linebackers coach. He will he has, I think, extensions that was tied into Chip Kelly's contract. So I would anticipate he'll be retained. And I would be stunned if Cody's contract that the secondary coaches, that both of them are not retained. So how many does that leave for him to hire? An offensive
not
coordinator.
Many. Yeah.
An offensive coordinator.
Tight ends coach.
And a tight ends coach. So I think it's going to be remain intact. I think he'll keep the existing staff.
Yeah. And I think that's for me, from an analysis perspective, I would, it would be beneficial, I think, to UCLA to have as much flexibility as can be granted within the budget constraints as far as assistant coach hires. And I don't know whether there will be any. I think this, as you said, it was a factor. So hiring well at offensive coordinator, I think, would be a significant plus for Foster here early. And then I don't know, like, if the defensive staff is going to remain intact, then there isn't much to do there. So it would be interesting to see if he has the flexibility to do much in terms of assistant coaches. I won't call it a quote continuity hire from like a successful tenure, because it wasn't really a successful tenure, as we've talked about at length for many years.
But that's what we think, Dave. I think UCLA's perception was that it was. So it is a continuity hire.
Yeah. But the continuity will be very likely on staff. And then from a positive angle, there's also the continuity with the roster. And I think this was probably somewhat of a factor as well, is that immediately after Chip Kelly announced his departure, many players took to Twitter to advocate for Deshaun Foster being the head coach. So you would have to imagine that the exodus of players that might have happened if there wasn't an announcement by Wednesday, or if there was a, I don't know, less familiar announcement by Wednesday, is maybe lessened. So that could play a positive role here for the roster going forward.
Yeah, I that's what I would expect. So when we're talking about staff, I think the big question mark right now will be the offensive coordinator. The word here is continuity. So I would expect someone who has experience in this type of offense, that's close. I don't think they're going to reinvent the wheel offensively. Pure speculation, Dave, who would you think might be some guys who have history with the staff?
An offensive coordinator. I mean, you could see Derek Sage. He's a former offensive staffer who's now, he's an offensive coordinator at Nevada, or was.
Yeah. Let's see. Right now, who are the new guys that are on the let's go over the – there's Billy Fessler, right, who's the quarterback's coach. I don't know the terms of his contract. I would think he's only – a quarterback's coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not a candidate. It would be, I mean, I don't know this guy at all, but I would feel horrible for the guy that, when did he take the job? I mean, it was a month ago, right? Early January?
Yeah, I think it was early January.
So he takes the job and then he's let go a month later. I mean, that could happen. Who knows? It would be awkward to have, I'm not awkward. It would be unconventional to have a new offensive coordinator who isn't the quarterback's coach. Right?
Yeah.
So they got to sort that out.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot to sort out here. There's so much,
And Chip Kelly, just so everyone understands, from like an internal hire standpoint, from an internal promotion standpoint, like if you're thinking, oh, Jerry Neuheisel or Tim Drevno or whoever, Chip Kelly was not super collaborative on the offensive side of the ball. And I don't know how much any of these guys who were who are continuous from the previous administration really had much to do with what UCLA was doing offensively, which is both good and bad. You know, obviously we've had some issues with Chip Kelly's offense over the years. But it does present an issue when you're thinking about whether you would promote internally for an offensive coordinator role, because how much experience any of these guys have with actually the dynamics of coming up with a game plan and play calling and all that kind of stuff. This is the area where I think it would make most sense to go outside. Now, whether they do that, whether it's easier and you know, again, from a continuity perspective, to just kind of elevate Jerry Neuheisel or elevate one of these guys, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out in the coming weeks. I wouldn't imagine this is a situation where Deshaun Foster is going to handle a side of the ball. I don't think that would be the way he would go, given he doesn't himself have coordinator experience as a play caller or game plan designer. So they need some experience there.
Yeah, but I would also, that could be true. They could go out and hire a new offensive coordinator from outside the program. And I'm just speculating here. I could see, so that's one thing. You go out and he brings in a new scheme that's maybe kind of similar to the scheme they're running. Again, we're talking continuity. Or you could go get Ryan Gunderson.
Yeah, you could.
Who is now the offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach at Oregon State. This would put him back at UCLA, back in the Big Ten, as opposed to the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm.
He
the
knows
Pac-2, the Tracy, the Pac-2.
Okay. We want to talk about that. This would be a semi lifeline for him. He knows the offense.
Mm-hmm.
From all I know is that I think he and Foster were on good terms, got along. This is just me speculating, not based on anything I've heard. I wouldn't be surprised at a move like that. If we're talking, because continuity is the word of the day.
Continuity, baby. Maybe let's reframe the discussion over like predictions of what we think will happen or how we think this will go versus what's the path to success here? Like, what is the path to putting together a good program that can do a lot of the things we've talked about over the last three broadcasts? We talked about it with Ken. We talked about it on Friday when this was initially announced. We talked about it yesterday when we did our own podcast about the remaining coaching candidates. So we've talked about Deshaun Foster before. And here's what I would say about Deshaun Foster. He's a Bruin great. He's a former, you know, elite running back for the school. He's been an assistant coach, nearly a lifer, from his assistant coaching tenure at UCLA. Like, he started as an undergraduate assistant, finishing out as a degree in the first year of Mora, then a graduate assistant, then left for a couple of years, then came back, was a running backs coach from 2017 on. So he kind of bridged the divide between Mora and Kelly. He has a lot of experience working within UCLA. So that can be a positive, that can be leveraged, but it has to be. It has to be a positive. It has to be leveraged. There should be all that stuff that we talked about in context of what needs to happen in the next 9 to 12 months for UCLA to get to the position where it can be competitive in the Big Ten. That can all apply to Deshaun Foster too. He has to do all these things, but it can all apply to him. There needs to be that major donor outreach. There needs to be a heavy investment in NIL fundraising. There needs to be a heavy change in recruiting. And if there was one of those three that I am probably the most interested to see happens, it's probably that recruiting piece. Because the issue that I have with continuity, just as like a general thing from the Chip Kelly era, isn't so much about on the field. Like, it's not so much about the schemes. Like, fine, whatever. It's about the recruiting apparatus. because UCLA under Chip Kelly did not recruit like any other college program, and the results were abysmal. Retaining a ton of that infrastructure, a ton of that assistant coaching staff, a ton of the just the stuff of Chip Kelly's tenure makes it so that putting together the philosophical change that's necessary becomes a much more interesting thing to watch. And that's the thing where I think that's that's a true unknown, like whether Deshaun Foster is going to be able and also going to be like of the mindset to change that and make that recruiting philosophy one of absolute aggression, absolute relationship building, absolute communication, constant recruiting. Because even in this NIL era, relationships and recruiting still matter. Relationships and recruiting are still a huge deal. It's the difference between having to pay $50,000 to get a guy versus $200,000 to get a guy. These things matter. And unless UCLA kind of turns over a new leaf there, becomes one of those programs that offers a reasonable number of players and recruits at an aggressive level, it's just a changing of the name at the helm. That's a huge piece that needs to change.
Yeah, I think you're definitely onto something. Witnessing Chip Kelly's program, and then recognizing the landscape of college football now and in the near future, projecting where it could go. You need a head coach who is going to embrace the job that is more about relationships, your own personal dynamic. And like you said, that the very first thing that, you know, that we know that where that applies is recruiting. But I think there's just along the same lines, there's another element, and that's in donor relations and NIL fundraising. So that's the same thing. Now, we believed coming out of Chip Kelly that UCLA would need to hire someone who is able to sell UCLA on both of those fronts. Deshaun Foster is a Bruin. He's a Bruin great. He has all of that going for him. He's not an outsider. We've always thought, and we've witnessed it, people who aren't alums or haven't spent a lot of time in the program, let's say, are just not bought in. We've seen that from a number of people, a number of coaches, just head coaches, assistant coaches. And it didn't used to be such a big element and a big factor, but it is now, given NIL and the transfer portal. So Deshaun Foster has that going for him, that he could sell that. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to be straight with you. I mean, we haven't heard over the years necessarily that Deshaun Foster is a really aggressive recruiter. He does not have that reputation. He has the tools, like we said, to do what needs to be done for UCLA, but we'll see if he's able to do this. And that's on two fronts. That's renewing UCLA's recruiting efforts, because those are kind of in the tank right now. It needs to get back to where it was. Let's just say high school recruiting. It needs to get back to where it was in the first few years of Jim Mora. That's what Deshaun Foster will have to do, and be very aggressive in high school recruiting. And now this whole new frontier of the transfer portal and NIL, he's going to have to really get highly aggressive on that front. He's going to have to go out and spend so much that the job description now of the head of college football head coach has to be, a huge portion of it is donor relations, is out there schmoozing donors to get them to donate to NIL. That's going to be Deshaun Foster's challenge. I can't project or guess if he'll be successful at it. I'm hoping that this is this is the mindset, that this is the recognition and acknowledgement of what has to happen, rather than there's any kind of old school idea here. Anything old school right now is not going to work in any future application of college football. It's just not going to work. You need to think ahead. You need to have some vision right now in college football, and you need to be willing to embrace where it is and where it's going. That whole trend of college football coaches just saying, oh, this is the last straw, the whole transfer portal, NIL, I'm out. Well, good, go. You know, then this isn't for you. I'm hoping, well, I mean, Deshaun Foster left. He left to go to the Raiders. And now he's back in college football. So it has to be along with a complete embrace of what college football is, because he's not, and he has a chance because of who he is as a former UCLA alum and former UCLA great. You'd have to hope right now, what time is it?
9:11 a.m.
That he's making calls to the top 10 UCLA donors. That should be seriously his first job. I know you're all going to get tired of this comparison. Mick Cronin, when the plane flew out to pick him up, to bring him back to Los Angeles, from what I've heard, on when it picked him up, he had been named, I can't even remember how much before, but it wasn't long. On the plane back, he asked for the list of the, this is pre-NIL, pre-transfer portal. He knew how programs work and function and succeed. He got the list, I don't know how many, but a list of the top donors, and called them on the plane ride to Los Angeles that picked him up in Cincinnati. That's the mindset, that even more so now with transfer portal and NIL. That's what has to happen now. I'm hoping that's recognized. I'm hoping Deshaun, as we speak, Deshaun Foster is talking to the top five NIL, top five football program donors. Because that's where the priority should be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And let me make it like beyond shoulds, beyond hope, beyond all that kind of stuff. That's the necessity. That's what needs to happen. So, you know, that's something that Deshaun Foster, to have the success that he needs to have, for UCLA to be pulled back from the brink, which is where it was here at the end of the Chip Kelly era. And it's going to be a lot on him. This job, as we've talked about, is mucking out the stables. It's rebuilding the infrastructure. It's getting fans back in seats. And, you know, we've talked about it before, the kind of chicken or egg argument, or putting the cart before the horse, all this kind of stuff. And we've always said for years and years, if you build it, like if you win, recruits will come. And like, that's been kind of, because that was what it was for the longest time. Like, you want to recruit hard, but if you start winning games, things will come. But in today's reality, you need to build it from the other side first. You need to build the fundraising. You need to build the NIL, because without it, you don't get the level of players you need to win the games, to get the more players, to get the better players, to get the fan dollars and all that kind of stuff. You need the dollars first. You need to have NIL fundraising. You need to have all these things to build the program you want to have. So it's a necessity. Like it's absolutely, you know, he should be on the phone with donors this morning, tomorrow, the next day. And like when we said in our, you know, previous three broadcasts, all of that still holds true. The job for the next year, for the next 12 months is donor fundraising, NIL fundraising, and recruiting. Because 2024, and say Deshaun Foster even retains a lot more of the roster than we were expecting, say on Saturday. Say, you know, some of the guys that we were thinking might leave, they decide to stay. Still, 2024 is a gauntlet. You're also going to be breaking in a new kind of, let's just call it a play calling apparatus, even if the assistant coaches don't change, because you're losing the head guy who also called the offense. So that's probably going to come with some drawbacks. And on top of that, it's a very tough schedule. It's your first year in the Big Ten, all this kind of stuff, not going to be a great year on the field. But how to parlay that into future success in the Big Ten is all about that infrastructure work. It's all about fundraising. It is all about recruiting. And that's the job for the next 12 months. And that's the thing that, you know, we're going to be watching in real time. Like, this is the thing that we're going to be paying attention to all throughout the spring and all throughout the summer and all throughout the fall is, are they deviating drastically from the Chip Kelly mode? And is that stuff happening? Because that's the stuff that needs to happen. And that's the challenge for Deshaun Foster, because also, and this is, he had experience under Mora the first couple of years as a student graduate assistant. He had experience in the last year of Mora, but most of his college coaching experience is under Chip Kelly, who did not make those demands of his assistants at the level that a typical college program does. Does he have the inherent kind of wherewithal to understand that those are the real demands and what Chip Kelly was doing was not correct, like not the right way to run a program? And so all these things are challenges when you are, when you're part of the continuity, when you're part of the continuity from a regime that we consider failed, but maybe UCLA didn't, is how do you change within those bounds? And so there are challenges here for Deshaun Foster, but if he nails them, there's major opportunity here. Because I think everyone would love the story of UCLA running back great, UCLA assistant coach, who then brings UCLA back from the brink, who gets everyone in line and does all the necessary work to get UCLA back to where it should be, which is in the upper, not like top echelon of college football, but in the territory of, yeah, they're going to compete for conference titles pretty regularly, not every year, but pretty regularly. And that's you hope that Deshaun Foster's connection to 1998, I guess, to put it kind of in a succinct way, is more profound for him than his connection to 2018.
Yeah. Exactly what you said. And I said before, there is the potential here, because like what we said before he was hired, what we thought the job needed to be, what we thought the role of the head coach needed to be. I'd have to assume that when you went out looking for candidates, their vision of what college football is now and their vision of what the role of the head coach was top of mind and top of conversation. You'd have to hope that Deshaun Foster has a vision for that. And it's not the mindset. Like, the best thing that we could hope for is Deshaun Foster learned so much, not from Mora and from Chip Kelly, of what was good and what was really working, but then recognized, you know, hopefully he has this mindset, recognize what was wrong with Chip Kelly's program and what he needs to change. Even without NIL and transfer portal, what wasn't functioning well and what needs to change, and now the new vision with NIL and transfer portal. You'd have to hope that that was all part of this equation. If not, then that's really disappointing. So yeah, like you said, Dave, there's potential, there's hope here. But there are a lot of, we just got to be honest. There are a lot of question marks. We'll see how this plays out. And I hate it when I hear people say, we'll see, because it means you don't know. But this is a bit of a mystery, on where this is going to go. More of a mystery than it could have been with other hires. So going forward, it's going to have to be that Deshaun Foster recognizes and has a vision of what this program should be and what it should be to win at the level that you talked about, what it needs to do in the new environment of college football.
Yeah, and I want to be clear to everyone, because it sounds like we're kind of like threading a line here, and we are, because the reality is, in February, UCLA was not going to hire a sure thing. And we talked about that for several days. They weren't going to hire, whatever. They weren't going to hire Ryan Day. They weren't going to hire a great sitting head coach, because there's just realities at play. UCLA's budget reality, which makes it hard to pay any buyout. And then UCLA's positioning in terms of time. When you hire in February, you're trying to hire guys out of jobs where they are getting ready to start spring ball. Where they've just signed a class where they have like promised guys. And yes, college football coaches are mercenaries, still kind of hard to do. They would have charged a premium to come to UCLA. So there was reality that February was going to be a hard time to hire. Now, obviously, Deshaun Foster was like probably not high on a ton of people's lists when they were thinking about who they wanted for the job, even within the bounds of that reality. But here's the thing. We are not Nostradamus. We can't.
I like how you pluralize that.
Yeah. We can't predict the future. Sometimes we get it right. But most of the time when we predict, we're just getting it within generalities of right. You know, look, we're not bad at our jobs. We have a pretty good understanding of UCLA. We have a pretty good understanding of the realities of college football. But things happen that are not predictable. And here's the thing. Deshaun Foster, he's going to have some challenges. He's going to have some challenges based on his own history as an assistant coach. Like, Greg Biggins just tweeted it out. He doesn't have a rep on the recruiting trail as like a super energetic, outgoing personality. Has to change. It just does. But these things can happen. Suddenly, a guy who was an assistant coach under a guy who didn't recruit could turn over a new leaf, and as the head coach, be a much more out there personality, be much more showing himself and getting people involved. It's going to be a challenge, though. And I don't want people to like throw it back in our face that we were, you know, super gung-ho and optimistic. Tracy just said it, and I hate to be in that position, but any coaching hire, you're in wait and see mode. With this one in particular, you're in real wait and see mode, because there's things that need to change within the program that are significant. And based on what those things are, there's also some things that Deshaun probably needs to change in his approach to recruiting, his approach to fundraising, his approach to donor relations. Those things can happen, though. Like, that's not outside the bounds of reality. That's not outside the bounds of things that have happened before in the past. But those are the realities. Like, we feel like we have a pretty good understanding of what the challenges are at UCLA right now. Deshaun Foster has a lot to do to address those challenges. It's a big job. I would say anybody was going to have a hard time with this job. Maybe Deshaun Foster has a slightly harder job because he has that, you know, history under Chip Kelly. But it's a hard job no matter what. The path to success is a relatively narrow one. Now, there's huge upside with the UCLA job. There always has been. There always will be. But the path to get there is going to require a lot of work, and it's very uphill. That's kind of the straight reality, where I'm not trying to be overly pessimistic or overly optimistic. That's the situation. And Deshaun Foster has a lot of work to do to get that in the right position.
So usually whenever there's a coaching change, this is a unique situation. Most of the time when the players, whoever the players want to be the head coach is usually not the good choice because Correct. Of course that's who they favor because they're in the locker room with them. And most of the time it's just, that's not the best choice to guide the program. And you kind of discount it or just dismiss it because that always happens. This is a moment when the players are actually very much in support of Deshaun Foster becoming UCLA's head coach, which has been, if you've been watching Twitter, has been kind of fun to watch. So while that's not something that you usually say is kind of a measure of the hire, in this instance, this might be, we'll look at it as an advantage. I mean, UCLA was going to fight the challenge of a lot of guys going in the transfer portal after Chip Kelly left. This will help retain a lot of them. I mean, I think I had heard that TJ Harden might be a guy who would have gone in the portal. You'd have to think this is his guy and he'll stay. So on that one hand, maybe it will be different than necessarily other like Washington or Arizona when they replaced their coach and so many guys went in the transfer portal or, you know, other programs too. Maybe that won't be an element. Maybe they'll be able to retain a lot of the guys who would have gotten in the transfer portal and would have left. So there's that. I just want to circle back a little to, I find it really intriguing about the staff. Right now, you can have 10 assistant coaches, on-field assistant coaches. Right now, if you count the recent hires, they have 8. That's counting Billy Fessler as the quarterback coach and Tony Washington as the new defensive line coach. This will be, I can see them staying status quo with the defensive staff. Mm-hmm. He needs a tight ends coach, so that would be one. Then you got one more, and like we said, what do you do? I mean, if you retain Tim Drevno, you retain Jerry Neuheisel, you bring in a tight ends coach, you need an offensive coordinator. I mean, you've got Billy Fessler, but he's not an offensive coordinator. So that's going to be the most interesting thing to watch. The offensive coordinator, quarterback's position, and what happens with Billy Fessler, who's been on the job for a month.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with the assistant staff. And I think hiring well at offensive coordinator is going to be a key factor.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Gunnarsson's name is mentioned, but that's just me speculating right now.
I wouldn't be surprised either. It's going to be really interesting to see exactly how much continuity ends up being there. What else do we got on this? I think we kind of laid out the situation.
We laid it out, Dave.
The coaching search is now over. UCLA, we won't know what contract details and all that kind of stuff till later. They might announce some part of it, but most of the time they don't. So we'll probably get that later when we get the contract through a FOIA request. The Deshaun Foster era begins now. And that will do it for us. All right. For Tracy Pearson, I'm David Woods, Bruin Report Online, and we'll talk to you again next time.
See y'all.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.